More Idaho Matters now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This weekend, the Boise Baroque Orchestra will be performing their last concert of the summer, wrapping their four-week festival up with an evening of music that you will not want to miss. So joining us now to talk more about the upcoming event is the group's artistic director, Robert Franz. Robert, nice to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here today.
So, Robert, for folks who might not be familiar with the Boise Baroque Orchestra, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. We are an ensemble that's been around actually for nearly 25 years at this point. I've been with the group for 5 years. It's made up of 30 musicians, and we perform music that was written before 1800. And that's a bulk of like music by Vivaldi and Telemann and Bach and Mozart and Haydn. And so what we do is we aim to perform in a historically informed performance way, which means that we, through use of certain Baroque equipment like Baroque bows and some Baroque instruments, we really aim towards making the music sound like you would have heard it if you were hearing it for the first time in the 18th century.
Hmm. Why do you think it's important for to really provide an opportunity like this for folks to interact and hear this type of music? Because I have to say, I mean, I would think a lot of folks may not have been exposed to music before, you know, the 18th century, as you said.
Yeah. So, you know, the Boise Philharmonic, which is a large, romantic, beautiful orchestra, performs mm-hmm. music mostly from the 19th and 20th centuries. Lots of like big Beethoven symphonies and Mahler and Strauss and that. And so this music that we perform is really designed for a smaller ensemble, but it's all music that people do recognize. Like these are composers, when you talk about Mozart or Vivaldi or Bach, these are all composers that people hear in their everyday life, but we often hear them in recordings or in performances that are performed on modern day instruments in a modern sort of way. And there are many ensembles around the United States, including the Boise Baroque Orchestra, that have said to ourselves, okay, if we were to really imagine what Bach sounded like in his day, what would that be like? And truthfully, Gemma, it's not that different from what you might expect, but it's different enough that it's really intriguing and interesting. For instance, this weekend, we're performing Beethoven's First Symphony. That symphony does get performed by the Boise Philharmonic sometimes and orchestras around the country, but in our performance, we'll be performing it in this historically informed way. And so there'll be some sort of different kinds of sounds and different kinds of ways of thinking about music than people might be used to. It's just kind of a unique and interesting way to listen to music from 300 years ago. It's almost like going through a time capsule and imagining what it would have sounded like if you were at one of these first performances.
Well, what I think is interesting too about it, Robert, is that it is the way the composer composed it, right? I mean, so I would think there has to be something like that to be able to listen to, you know, Beethoven on an instrument that he would have performed this piece on.
I think that's exactly right. And as you know, of course, there were no recordings in the 18th century. So we don't have a real way of knowing what Beethoven's orchestra, Mozart's orchestra, Vivaldi's orchestra sounded like. However, through scholarship, through study, through the instruments, through accounts by other people, by performers, by other composers, we start to put together a picture of what this music may very well have sounded like to these composers. And it's really intriguing. So for instance, the Boise Baroque Orchestra, all of the string players use Baroque bows. Those bows are different from the bows that you might see a romantic modern orchestra play with. They're shorter, lighter, thinner, and because of that, they make a different kind of sound. And that different kind of sound provides a sort of lightness and airiness and a certain excitement in the quality of music making of this music.
So I have a question for you. Why do you think classical music is so important when it comes to maybe educating kids? Because I'm thinking of just the classics in general, music, you know, books, all of that, because I've got two kids and all they do is, you know, complain about having to learn the old stuff. But with that said, there's a reason to learn about this.
I hear you exactly. And so, you know, Gemma, we just finished last week our first Baroque Summer Institute, where we had three high school orchestras come together. We had a set of Baroque bows for them to use, and we taught them what this music would have sounded like in the 18th century and taught them how to make the music in that way. But I think for in a more general sort of way, the thing about music making, especially as a young person, is it really helps to map the mind in a different way. It helps to connect up the left brain and the right brain. It helps to connect up certain coordinations. It helps to develop language skills. And most importantly, Gemma, it develops active listening skills. And active listening is one of the biggest keys to being a good learner. And so what we find is that young students, kids who study music seriously, they develop these certain skills, especially their active listening skills, which then bleed over into all the other areas of their development and help them to become better learners. It's really an extraordinary process to witness.
I really love that active listening part of it. So with that said, you're performing this Sunday. Can you tell us a little bit more about when and where and what people can expect?
I can. And actually, Gemma, the good news is there are two options to hear the Boise Baroque this weekend. So either Saturday night at 7:30 at First Presbyterian in downtown Boise, or Sunday evening at the Chateau des Fleurs in Eagle at 8:15. Now, here's the difference. Saturday night's concert is indoors in a church. Sundays is al fresco. So we'll be performing outside just south on the south side of the Chateau des Fleurs in Eagle. It's a French garden that's been set up. It seats literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. It's one of the most exquisite locations you can imagine, and really replicates how much of this music would have been heard in its original form, you know, sitting outside at a chateau at sort of a really fun party. So the way Sunday night works is that, and this is the final concert of the season, is that you can bring food, you bring your blankets, your chairs. You can buy adult beverages at the chateau and just enjoy under the stars this really beautiful music.
Thank you so much for the conversation. We've been talking with Artistic Director Robert Franz about the Boise Baroque Orchestra's last concert of the summer. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
New from the Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.